It's not enough to cut their heads off, for they keep back progress. Would you believe it, Ivan, that lacerates my sentiments? No, you don't believe it as I see from your eyes. You believe what people say, that I'm nothing but a buffoon. Alishaw, do you believe that I'm nothing but a buffoon? No, I don't believe it. And I believe you don't, and that you speak the truth. You look sincere and you speak sincerely. But not Ivan. Ivan's supercilious. I'd make an end of your monks, though, all the same. I'd take all that mystic stuff and suppress it, once for all over Russia, so as to bring all the fools to reason. And the gold and the silver that would flow into the mint. But why suppress it? Asked Ivan. That truth may prevail. That's why. Well, if truth were to prevail, you know, you'd be the first to be robbed and suppressed. Ah. I dare say you're right. Ah, I'm an ass. Burst out Fyodor Pavlovich, himself lightly on the forehead. Well, your monastery may stand then, Alishaw, if that's how it is. And we clever people will sit snug and enjoy our brandy. You know, Ivan, it must have been so ordained by the Almighty himself. Ivan, speak, is there a God or not? Stay, speak the truth, speak seriously. Why are you laughing again? I'm laughing that you should have made a clever remark just now about Smerdyakov's belief in the existence of two saints who could move mountains. Why, am I like him now, then? Very much. Well, that shows I'm a Russian, too, and I have a Russian characteristic. And you may be caught in the same way, though you are a philosopher. Shall I catch you? What do you bet that I'll catch you to, Morrow? Speak, all the same, is there a God, or not? Only, be serious. I want you to be serious now. No, there is no God. Alishaw, is there a God? There is. Ivan, and is there immortality of some sort, just a little, just a tiny bit? There is no immortality either. None at all? None at all. There's absolute nothingness then. Perhaps there is just something? Anything is better than nothing. Alishaw, is there immortality? God and immortality? God and immortality. In God is immortality. H.M. It's more likely Ivan's right. Good Lord. To think what faith, what force of all kinds, man has lavished for nothing, on that dream, and for how many thousand years? Who is it laughing at man? Ivan, for the last time, once for all, is there a God or not? I ask for the last time. And for the last time there is not. Who is laughing at mankind, Ivan? It must be the devil, said Ivan, smiling. And the devil? Does he exist? No, there's no devil either. It's a pity. Damn it all, what wouldn't I do to the man who first invented God? Hanging on a bitter aspen tree would be too good for him. There would have been no civilization if they hadn't invented God. Wouldn't there have been? Without God? No. And there would have been no brandy either. But I must take your brandy away from you, anyway. Stop, 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 dear boy, one more little glass. I've hurt Alishaw's feelings. You're not angry with me, Alishaw? My dear little Alexei. No, I am not angry. I know your thoughts. Your heart is better than your head. My heart better than my head, is it? Oh Lord. And that from you. Ivan, do you love Alishaw? You must love him. Fyodor Pavlovich was by this time very drunk. Listen, Alishaw, I was rude to your elder this morning. But I was excited. But there's wit in that elder, don't you think, Ivan? Very likely. There is. Ilya Dubonla, didens. He's a Jesuit, a Russian one, that is. As he's an honorable person, there's a hidden indignation boiling within him at having to pretend and affect holiness. There's something of Don inside of him. But, of course, he believes in God. Not a bit of it. Didn't you know? Why? He tells everyone so, himself. That is, not everyone, but all the clever people who come to him. He said straight out to Governor Schultz not long ago, credo, but I don't know in what. Really? He really did. But I respect him. There's something of Mephistopheles about him, or rather of the hero of our time. Arbenin, or what's his name? You see, he's a sensualist. He's such a sensualist that I should be afraid for my daughter or my wife if she went to confess to him. You know, when he begins telling stories. The year before last he invited us to tea, tea with liqueur, the ladies sent him liqueur, and began telling us about old times till we nearly split our sides. Especially how he once cured a paralyzed woman. If my legs were not bad, I know a dance I could dance you, he said. What do you say to that? I've plenty of tricks in my time, said he. He did Demidoff, the merchant, out of 60,000. What? He stole it. He brought him the money as a man he could trust, saying, take care of it for me, friend, there'll be a police search at my place tomorrow. And he kept it. You have given it to the church, he declared. I said to him, you're a scoundrel, I said. No, said he, I'm not a scoundrel, but I'm broad-minded. But that wasn't he, that was someone else. I've muddled him with someone else. Without noticing it. Come, another glass and that's enough. Take away the bottle, Ivan. I've been telling lies. Why didn't you stop me, Ivan, and tell me I was lying? I knew you'd stop of yourself. That's a lie. You did it from spite, from simple spite against me. You despise me. You have come to me and despised me in my own house. Well, I'm going away. You've had too much brandy. I've begged you for Christ's sake to go to Chemeshany for a day or two, and you don't go. I'll go tomorrow if you're so set upon it. You won't go. You want to keep an eye on me. That's what you want, spiteful fellow. That's why you won't go. The old man persisted. He had reached that state of drunkenness when the drunkard who has till then been inoffensive tries to pick a quarrel and to assert himself. Why are you looking at me? Why do you look like that? Your eyes look at me and say, you ugly drunkard. Your eyes are mistrustful. They're contemptuous. You've come here with some design. Alishaw, here, looks at me and his eyes shine. Alishaw doesn't despise me. Alexei, you mustn't love Ivan. Don't be ill-tempered with my brother. Leave off attacking him, Alishaw said emphatically. Oh, all right. Ugh. My head aches. Take away the brandy, Ivan. It's the third time I've told you. He mused, and suddenly a slow, cunning grin spread over his face. Don't be angry with a feeble old man, Ivan. I know you don't love me, but don't be angry all the same. You've nothing to love me for. You go to Chemeshnya. I'll come to you myself and bring you a present. I'll show you a little wench there. I've had my eye on her a long time. She's still running about barefoot. Don't be afraid of barefooted wenches. Don't despise them, they're pearls. And he kissed his hand with a smack. To my thinking, he revived at once, seeming to grow sober the instant he touched on his favorite topic. To my thinking. Ah, you boys. You children, little sucking pigs, to my thinking. I never thought a woman ugly in my life, that's been my rule. Can you understand that? How could you understand it? You've milk in your veins, not blood. You're not out of your shells yet. My rule has been that you can always find something devilishly interesting in every woman that you wouldn't find in any other. Only, one must know how to find it, that's the point. That's a talent. To my mind there are no ugly women. The very fact that she is a woman is half the battle. But how could you understand that? Even in Vile's Fizz, even in them you may discover something that makes you simply wonder that men have been such fools as to let them grow old without noticing them. Bare-footed girls or unattractive ones, you must take by surprise. Didn't you know that? You must astound them till they're fascinated, upset. A shame that such a gentleman should fall in love with such a little slut. It's a jolly good thing that there always are and will be masters and slaves in the world, So there always will be a little maid, of all work and her master, and you know, that's all that's needed for happiness. Stay. Listen, Alishaw, I always used to surprise your mother, but in a different way. I paid no attention to her at all. But all at once, when the minute came, I'd be all devotion to her, crawl on my knees, kiss her feet, and I always, always, I remember it as though it were today, reduced her to that tinkling, quiet, nervous, queer little laugh. It was peculiar to her. I knew her attacks always used to begin like that. The next day she would begin shrieking hysterically, and this little laugh was not a sign of delight, though it made a very good counterfeit. That's the great thing, to know how to take everyone. Once Belyavsky, he was a handsome fellow, and rich, used to like to come here and hang about her, suddenly gave me a slap in the face in her presence. And she, such a mild sheep, why, I thought she would have knocked me down for that blow. How she set on me. You're beaten, beaten now, she said, you've taken a blow from him. You have been trying to sell me to him, she said. And how dared he strike you in my presence? Don't dare come near me again, never, never. Run at once, challenge him to a duel. I took her to the monastery then to bring her to her senses. The Holy Father sprayed her back to reason. But I swear, by God, Alishaw, I never insulted the poor crazy girl. Only once, perhaps, in the first year, then she was very fond of praying. She used to keep the feasts of Our Lady particularly and used to turn me out of her room then. I'll knock that mysticism out of her, thought I. Here, said I, you see your holy image. Here it is. Here I take it down. You believe it's miraculous, but here, I'll spit on it directly and nothing will happen to me for it. When she saw it, good Lord! I thought she would kill me. But she only jumped up, wrung her hands, then suddenly hid her face in them, began trembling all over and fell on the floor. Fell all of a heap. Alishaw, Alishaw, what's the matter? The old man jumped up in alarm. From the time he had begun speaking about his mother, a change had gradually come over Alishaw's face. He flushed crimson, his eyes glowed, his lips quivered. The old sot had gone spluttering on, noticing nothing, till a moment when something very strange happened to Alishaw. Precisely what he was describing in the crazy woman was suddenly repeated with Alishaw. He jumped up from his seat exactly as his mother was said to have done, wrung his hands, hid his face in them, and fell back in his chair, shaking all over in an hysterical paroxysm of sudden violent, silent weeping. His extraordinary resemblance to his mother particularly impressed the old man. Ivan, Ivan. Water, quickly. It's like her, exactly as she used to be then, his mother. Spurt some water on him from your mouth, that's what I used to do to her. He's upset about his mother, he muttered to Ivan. But she was my mother, too, I believe. His mother. Was she not? Said Ivan, with uncontrolled anger and contempt. The old man shrank before his flashing eyes. But something very strange had happened, though only for a second, it seemed really to have escaped the old man's mind that Alishaw's mother actually was the mother of Ivan too. Your mother? He muttered, not understanding. What do you mean? What mother are you talking about? Was she? Why, damn it. Of course she was yours too. Damn it. My mind has never been so darkened before. Excuse me, why, I was thinking Ivan. He. He stopped. A broad, drunken, half-senseless grin overspread his face. At that moment a fearful noise, and clamor was heard in the hall. There were violent shouts, the door was flung open, and Dmitri burst into the room. The old man rushed to Ivan in terror. He'll kill me. He'll kill me. Don't let him get at me. He screamed, clinging to the skirt of Ivan's coat. Chapter 9, The Sensualists. Grigory and Smerdyakov ran into the room after Dmitri. They had been struggling with him in the passage, refusing to admit him, acting on instructions given them by Fyodor Pavlovich some days before. Taking advantage of the fact that Dmitri stopped a moment on entering the room to look about him, Grigory ran round the table, closed the double doors on the opposite side of the room leading to the inner apartments, and stood before the closed doors, stretching wide his arms, prepared to defend the entrance, so to speak, with the last drop of his blood. Seeing this, Dmitri uttered a scream rather than a shout and rushed at Grigory. "Then she's there. She's hidden there. Out of the way, scoundrel." He tried to pull Grigory away, but the old servant pushed him back. Beside himself with fury, Dmitri struck out, and hit Grigory with all his might. The old man fell like a log, and Dmitri, leaping over him, broke in the door. Smerdyakov remained pale and trembling at the other end of the room, huddling close to Fyodor Pavlovich. "She's here," shouted Dmitri. "I saw her turn towards the house just now, but I couldn't catch her. Where is she? Where is she?" That shout, "She's here," produced an indescribable effect on Fyodor Pavlovich. All his terror left him. "Hold him! Hold him!" he cried, and dashed after Dmitri. Meanwhile, Grigory had got up from the floor, but still seemed stunned. Ivan and Alishor ran after their father. In the third room, something was heard to fall on the floor with a ringing crash. It was a large glass vase, not an expensive one, on a marble pedestal which Dmitri had upset as he ran past it. "At him!" shouted the old man. "Help!" Ivan and Alishor caught the old man and were forcibly bringing him back. "Why do you run after him? He'll murder you outright," Ivan cried wrathfully at his father. "Ivan! Alishor? She must be here. Grushenka's here. He said he saw her himself, running. He was choking. He was not expecting Grushenka at the time, and the sudden news that she was here made him beside himself. He was trembling all over. He seemed frantic. "But you've seen for yourself that she hasn't come," cried Ivan. "But she may have come by that other entrance. You know that entrance is locked, and you have the key." Dmitri suddenly reappeared in the drawing room. He had, of course, found the other entrance locked, and the key actually was in Fyodor Pavlovich's pocket. The windows of all rooms were also closed, so Grushenka could not have come in anywhere nor have run out anywhere. "Hold him!" shrieked Fyodor Pavlovich, as soon as he saw him again. "He's been stealing money in my bedroom." And tearing himself from Ivan, he rushed again at Dmitri. But Dmitri threw up both hands and suddenly clutched the old man by the two tufts of hair that remained on his temples, tugged at them, and flung him with a crash on the floor. He kicked him two or three times with his heel in the face. The old man moaned shrilly. Ivan, though not so strong as Dmitri, threw his arms round him, and with all his might pulled him away. Alishor helped him with his slender strength, holding Dmitri in front. "Madman! You've killed him!" cried Ivan. "Serve him right!" shouted Dmitri breathlessly. "If I haven't killed him, I'll come again and kill him. You can't protect him. Dmitri! Go away at once!" cried Alishor commandingly. "Alexei! You tell me. It's only you I can believe. Was she here just now, or not? I saw her myself creeping this way by the fence from the lane. I shouted, she ran away. I swear she's not been here, and no one expected her. But I saw her. So she must. I'll find out at once where she is. Good, bye, Alexei. Not a word to Aesop about the money now. But go to Katerina Ivanovna at once and be sure to say, he sends his compliments to you." "Compliments, his compliments. Just compliments and farewell. Describe the scene to her." Meanwhile, Ivan and Grigory had raised the old man and seated him in an armchair. His face was covered with blood, but he was conscious and listened greedily to Dmitri's cries. He was still fancying that Grushenka really was somewhere in the house. Dmitri looked at him with hatred as he went out. "I don't repent shedding your blood," he cried. "Beware, old man, Beware of your dream, for I have my dream, too. I curse you, and disown you altogether. He ran out of the room. She's here. She must be here. Smerdyakov. Smerdyakov. The old man wheezed, scarcely audibly, beckoning to him with his finger. No, she's not here, you old lunatic. Ivan shouted at him angrily. Here, he's fainting. Water. A towel. Make haste, Smerdyakov. Smerdyakov ran for water. At last they got the old man undressed, and put him to bed. They wrapped a wet towel round his head. Exhausted by the brandy, by his violent emotion, and the blows he had received, he shut his eyes and fell asleep as soon as his head touched the pillow. Ivan and Alishaw went back to the drawing room. Smerdyakov removed the fragments of the broken vase, while Grigory stood by the table looking gloomily at the floor. Shouldn't you put a wet bandage on your head and go to bed, too? Alishaw said to him. We'll look after him. My brother gave you a terrible blow, on the head. He's insulted me. Grigory articulated gloomily and distinctly. He's insulted his father, not only you, observed Ivan with a forced smile. I used to wash him in his tub. He's insulted me, repeated Grigory. Damn it all, if I hadn't pulled him away perhaps he'd have murdered him. It wouldn't take much to do for Aesop, would it? Whispered Ivan to Alishaw. God forbid! Cried Alishaw. Why should he forbid? Ivan went on in the same whisper, with a malignant grimace. One reptile will devour the other. And serve them both right, too. Alishaw shuddered. Of course I won't let him be murdered as I didn't just now. Stay here, Alishaw, I'll go for a turn in the yard. My head's begun to ache. Alishaw went to his father's bedroom and sat by his bedside behind the screen for about an hour. The old man suddenly opened his eyes and gazed for a long while at Alishaw, evidently remembering and meditating. All at once his face betrayed extraordinary excitement. Alishaw, he whispered apprehensively, where's Ivan? In the yard. He's got a headache. He's on the watch. Give me that looking glass. It stands over there. Give it me. Alishaw gave him a little round folding looking glass which stood on the chest of drawers. The old man looked at himself in it. His nose was considerably swollen, and on the left side of his forehead there was a rather large crimson bruise. What does Ivan say? Alishaw, my dear, my only son, I'm afraid of Ivan. I'm more afraid of Ivan than the other. You're the only one I'm not afraid of. Don't be afraid of Ivan either. He is angry, but he'll defend you. Alishaw, and what of the other? He's run to Grushenka. My angel, tell me the truth, was she here just now or not? No one has seen her. It was a mistake. She has not been here. You know Mitya wants to marry her, to marry her. She won't marry him. She won't. She won't. She won't. She won't on any account. The old man fairly fluttered with joy, as though nothing more comforting could have been said to him. In his delight he seized Alishaw's hand and pressed it warmly to his heart. Tears positively glittered in his eyes. That image of the Mother of God of which I was telling you just now, he said. Take it home and keep it for yourself. And I'll let you go back to the monastery. I was joking this morning, don't be angry with me. My head aches, Alishaw. Alishaw, comfort my heart. Be an angel and tell me the truth. You're still asking whether she has been here or not? Alishaw said sorrowfully. No, no, no. I believe you. I'll tell you what it is, you go to Grushenka yourself, or see her somehow, make haste and ask her, see for yourself, which she means to choose, him or me. Eh? What? Can you? If I see her I'll ask her, Alishaw muttered, embarrassed. No, she won't tell you, the old man interrupted, she's a rogue. She'll begin kissing you and say that it's you she wants. She's a deceitful, shameless hussy. You mustn't go to her, you mustn't. No, father, and it wouldn't be suitable, it wouldn't be right at all. Where was he sending you just now? He shouted go as he ran away. For money? To ask her for money? No. Not for money. He's no money, not a farthing. I'll settle down for the night, and think things over, and you can go. Perhaps you'll meet her. Only be sure to come to me tomorrow in the morning. Be sure to. I have a word to say to you tomorrow. Will you come? When you come, pretend you've come of your own accord to ask after me. Don't tell anyone I told you to. Don't say a word to Ivan. Very well. Good, bye, my angel. You stood up for me, just now. I shall never forget it. I've a word to say to you tomorrow, but I must think about it. And how do you feel now? I shall get up tomorrow and go out, perfectly well, perfectly well. Crossing the yard, Alishaw found Ivan sitting on the bench at the gateway. He was sitting writing something in pencil in his notebook. Alishaw told Ivan that their father had waked up, was conscious, and had let him go back to sleep at the monastery. Alishaw, I should be very glad to meet you tomorrow morning, said Ivan cordially, standing up. His cordiality was a complete surprise to Alishaw. I shall be at the Holokovs' tomorrow, answered Alishaw. I may be at Katerina Ivanovna's, too, if I don't find her now. But you're going to her now, anyway. For that compliments and farewell, said Ivan smiling. Alishaw was disconcerted. I think I quite understand his exclamations just now, and part of what went before. Dmitri has asked you to go to her and say that he, well, in fact, takes his leave of her? Brother, how will all this horror end between father and Dmitri? Exclaimed Alishaw. One can't tell for certain. Perhaps in nothing, it may all fizzle out. That woman is a beast. In any case, we must keep the old man indoors and not let Dmitri in the house. Brother, let me ask one thing more. Has any man a right to look at other men and decide which is worthy to live? Why bring in the question of worth? The matter is most often decided in men's hearts on other grounds much more natural. And as for rights, who has not the right to wish? Not for another man's death? What even if for another man's death? Why lie to oneself since all men live so and perhaps cannot help living so? Are you referring to what I said just now, that one reptile will devour the other? In that case let me ask you, do you think me like Dmitri capable of shedding Aesop's blood, murdering him, eh? What are you saying, Ivan? Such an idea never crossed my mind. I don't think Dmitri is capable of it, either. Thanks, if only for that, smiled Ivan. Be sure, I should always defend him. But in my wishes I reserve myself full latitude in this case. Good, bye till tomorrow. Don't condemn me, and don't look on me as a villain, he added with a smile. They shook hands warmly as they had never done before. Alishaw felt that his brother had taken the first step towards him, and that he had certainly done this with some definite motive. Chapter 10, Both Together. Alishaw left his father's house feeling even more exhausted and dejected in spirit than when he had entered it. His mind too seemed shattered and unhinged, while he felt that he was afraid to put together the disjointed fragments and form a general idea from all the agonizing and conflicting experiences of the day. He felt something bordering upon despair, which he had never known till then. Towering like a mountain above all the rest stood the fatal, insoluble question. How would things end between his father and his brother Dmitri with this terrible woman? Now he had himself been a witness of it, he had been present and seen them face to face. Yet only his brother Dmitri could be made unhappy, terribly, completely unhappy. There was trouble awaiting him. It appeared too that there were other people concerned, far with something positively mysterious in it, too. Ivan had made a step towards him, which was what Alishaw had been long desiring. Yet now he felt for some reason that he was frightened at it. And these women? Strange to say, that morning he had set out for Katerina Ivanovna's in the greatest embarrassment, now he felt nothing of the kind. On the contrary, He was hastening there as though expecting to find guidance from her. Yet to give her this message was obviously more difficult than before.